Good morning. Good worship this morning, and just a rejoicing in the Lord. And we really need to encourage one another to do that all the more. The times are a little funky right now. I've lived long enough to see some major changes going on. So I'm just so grateful that we can rejoice in our security in the Lord. We know that God loves us. We know that God sees us. And we know that God has us in His hands. Nothing's all awry to God. Nothing's out of, it's not chaos to God. He is in control. He has a plan. He's moving forward step by step, and things are going down. But today, as a title, As the World Squirms to You. You know, there's an old TV show, As the World Turns.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's been going on, my God, since I've been a kid in high school for quite a while. That thing's been on. If it even still is on, I don't know. But as the world squirms, do you? That's my question. And no one has to raise their hand, and no one has to answer it here today. But you do have to know it in your own heart. And I thank you, Carolyn, for preparing. I was surprised she had prepared a little PowerPoint for me and got some things here. So. As we get to one of the Psalms, you can read along. She's got that here for us today. So, but I'm sure you've noticed, you know, and our young ones may not be able to see as much of a comparison as some of our older ones, but a tremendously unstable situation in our world. Now, our young ones, I mean, you know, when I was 15, 16, 17, I wasn't watching the news either, you know? And so I wasn't really that much aware of what was going on. So our young ones may or may not be as aware, but there's a tremendous instability in our world. Not just like a local county or a couple of states or something having a little economic problem. Right now, there's a tremendous instability in the world. And I'm going, oh, that's a nice big change, Lord. Our country I'm going to say, suffering from the results of moral decline.
Yes, absolutely.
There is no doubt about it. You can soft soap this all you want, and anyone listening on the web can justify all the garbage you want. The breakup of the nuclear family, the mocking of what God said marriage is, this freedom that our great wisdom that our founding fathers got from God's leading in the scriptures is being mocked and turned around. This freedom is now turning into a free-for-all. And our young people are growing up thinking you can do anything you want with anyone, anytime, any place. Those moral boundaries that our government was set up on are hugely important to remain. They are not a restriction on your fun and your pleasure. What they are is a safety barrier so you won't fall over into a raging river of death. And I ask you, those of you who are familiar with the Tampa area, the Sunshine Skyway Bridge, I hate it. I cannot stand going over it. It is too high. It's scary for me. How would you like to travel over that in your vehicle and have no barriers on the side? No barriers on the side. And yet that is what our culture has established for our young people to do today. The moral barriers of integrity, sexual purity, sobriety, service before self, excellence in all you do. Those moral barriers have been knocked down over the years. And anyone who stands for a moral code, especially that which was built on the Christian foundation of this nation, if anyone stands up for that, they're laughed at, they're mocked, and they're scoffed. I have lived long enough to see a huge change. That is not the country I grew up in. And I'm living to see the change. Now, some people call that progress. Those people call it progressive.
Mm-hmm.
They call it progress. Well, how can you call it progress when in the 1940s, the worst thing seniors were doing in high school were cutting in line and lettering? And the worst thing they're doing in high school now is drug abuse, alcoholism, suicide, rape, assault. You call that progress? Children don't have any idea what being loved and being nurtured and have a sense of value and importance in life. Families without any structure at all. And as pastors here, we deal with this so many times in trying to help people. Women with children with absolutely zero support.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck on drugs and alcohol. Moving every couple of months from this person's couch to that person's front room to this person's front porch.
Mm-hmm.
Those kids changing their schools every 2 or 3 months. How do you expect anyone in that situation, unhealthy food, unhealthy every single thing, unhealthy attitude, unhealthy moral code, cursing and swearing and drugs and alcohol abound in these young kids' lives, and you call that progress?
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to grow up and be fine young men and young women? How are they going to be the next set of moms and dads? How are they going to be the next set of stable leaders in medicine and engineering and construction and all the facets of a wonderful, abundant, and free society? That old devil, he knows exactly what he's doing, and those that deny the existence of evil are fools.
Mm-hmm.
They're falling off the cliff of life like lemmings. That old devil has struck at the heart of our country, which is the family, and has removed the men and the provision from the family, has removed the sense of independence from the people, has set up a whole generation of people who expect others to pave the way for them. That is not the essence of God.
Mm-hmm.
If I hear one more stupid politician standing up there saying, to the one much is given, much is required, and have that same politician never quote the same Bible that says, the man who does not work doesn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
And the man who does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. These are the principles on which our country were founded. And yet I see chaos when you take away those principles. I see chaos, not anything improving. I don't see the families getting better. I don't see education getting better. I don't see health getting better. In some areas and facets, yes. But I see the foundation upon which we were built crumbling. It's starting to have cracks in it, and people are falling through those cracks in droves. Not only our country's moral decline, but there's such turmoil. There's a war-torn Middle East that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
A Middle East that is struggling for power and control. A Middle East that soon will have nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I urge you to go look not at a map, but at a globe. We do not live on a flat world, and people say, well, we're here in the United States, they're way over there, who cares what's going on? We live on a round planet, and when someone in the Middle East gets nuclear weapons, they can very easily go over the North Pole and hit San Francisco and Boston and Tampa and Minneapolis and every place else. What is going on in our world? We have a turbulent immigration and border problem. We have a country defined by borders, a country that has been blessed by God, blessed with plenty of flat land that can grow grain, plenty of mountains that can sustain us with the melting snows and the waters and the rivers and the lakes. We were protected by two huge oceans on each side for years and years. We didn't have invasion like so many others. And when we developed this country, we did not go out and invade others. I dare you to find out, after our country was established, which country do we go out, aggressive imperialist Americans, go out and invade and stay there and call them part of our country? We have gone and fought wars all over Europe and the Middle East and then come back. And then we rebuild what the enemy has bombed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What ridiculousness. The Christian code and foundation of this country does dictate to us in our hearts to love your enemy, to help those that are downtrodden. It also tells us to defend the weak. I see these principles changing. The flux of immigrants fleeing the Middle East is causing, you say, oh, that's way over there. It's causing economic turmoil. When those countries cannot have the money to provide for them, they will not be able to buy the supplies that we make. I mean, this thing is echoing all over the world, and people are going, well, I just don't have the kind of cereal I like. I'm really angry. You know, I'm going to the store, they didn't have my brand. Oh, that's stupid. Oh, I wonder who's going to win, American Idol, The Voice. I'm not coming against the programs. I'm just saying, our focus is not on God anymore. He is not on this, not us. I mean, we're blessed. Thank you, Lord. I'm preaching the choir here. But I'm just saying, when a country that was founded by God's principles throws God out, which it did, I was just a kid. I didn't even know what was going on. We would say prayers in the public school when I was a kid. We had a little Bible reading verse. The prayer was so simple. You know, God bless our teachers and our nation today and help us. You know, it was just so simple. Amen. And then we read a little scripture, something like, return a kind word for an unkind word. You know, it was basic principles. You heard it every day. It was incorporated in your music and in the movies and in the newspapers and in the magazines. There were censors in Hollywood that stopped the foul language and the nudity and the crudity and the stupid violence. It inundates everything our young people see today. The inability of countries to ferret out terrorists. I mean, I'm just throwing a few things out here. That may be pouring over the borders, pretending to be fleeing from the war in the Middle East. They're pouring over our borders, and there's no way to determine who is who. Now, well, it really amazed me because when I saw on the news, these precious people, some of them truly are fleeing, but about 20% of them are families, like 80% of them are these young men that are of the age of being terrorists and crazy people. They're pouring into these countries. Mm-hmm. What was these countries' first response? What did they do? They built a wall. And they put the military on their border so that people couldn't pour in. They're still letting them in, but they're trying to check them as they come in. That is so infuriating. Oh, how discriminatory to have a wall. How discriminatory to require people to prove who they are. Such foolishness in the heart of man. And this is all going on right now. The economic and the energy crises that loom in the distance. They're not here yet, but they're out there. The government has just put more control on coal and oil industry, and pretty soon, even our own president said, the policies that I have, your electric bill will skyrocket. It's in an effort to make you turn everything down and off in order to conserve energy. While those who are making the rules have the lights on in their mansions. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, this is pretty confusing. Now that I've made your day with all this happy news, and that's only part of it. I just threw a few things out there. It seems kind of bleak, but not really. Mm-hmm. Can you believe I just said that? It seems kind of bleak, but not really. Now, I want to share a vision that I have. And this was a few weeks ago. I shared this with our leadership team at our leadership meeting. But what I saw was this huge door. It was like a wooden door. It was as thick as the church is wide. I mean, it's huge. You know, like you see on one of the old time forts. And it had like the metal plates and pieces and the handles on the outside. But this door was a huge wooden door. It was huge. There was no way to get through that thing. And what I understood was that door was the entrance to the end times. So I'm just looking at that door. I'm going, oh, okay, Lord, whatever. Now, there's all sorts of signs that are converging out there right now. There's blood moons. There's some of the world turmoil that I talked about. And the Shmitas and all of those kind of things are happening, and meaning 7-year cycles and year of Jubilee. These things have been happening over the centuries. Couple here, couple there. I'm sure in World War II they thought that was the end of the world. You know, some people even thought that Kennedy was part of the end times, and that when he was shot in the head, he wasn't really killed. He was on an island. He was on an island somewhere and was going to rise up and be repaired. I mean, these comments about the end times have been going on forever and ever and ever. But never has there been all of these signs at the same time. There might have been wars and turmoil, but there weren't the Shemitahs, which are the seven-year periods. There might have been the seven-year periods, but there wasn't the blood moons. There might have been the blood moons, but there wasn't the year of Jubilee. I mean, all these kind of things have been happening. This is the first time they all have converged at the same time. So I said, wow, what's going on here, Lord? So I saw this huge door. And what I saw was these things happening individually of themselves, these signs of the end times that are noted in the scriptures, aren't necessarily something that the thing itself is going to do something. I saw all these things that were happening rolled up into this huge log. And then I saw that log, just like you see, like, you know, when the Vikings would knock down a, you know, they'd take that battering ram. This huge door that could not be opened by anything, all these things wrapped up was the log. And bam, it went crashing into that door, and the door opened up. And what I heard the Lord say was, this is the beginning of the end. And I went, whoa, I wasn't frightened at all. Now, whether that time frame, meaning there's a block of time here, whether it's 1 year, whether it's 50 years, or whether it's 1,000 years, don't know, don't care. What I understood was, this is the last season in the plan. Hallelujah. But don't everyone run out and move to North Carolina thinking, you know, I'm not saying to do that at all. I'm just saying the Lord showed that. This is exciting. I don't know how long this time frame is, but this is the last one that mankind is going to have to live through. Then we are permanently going to be with the Lord. Now, whether he comes before the end of that time, whether I croak before that happens, I have no idea. And I'm going to continue living each day with power and vitality and vibrancy, learning more about the Lord, giving more, helping more, doing more, enjoying life, enjoying whatever level of health you have, whatever you do. Love your kids, love your husbands, love your wives. Go on knowing there's a fullness of life here. I hear so many people, oh, it's the end times, oh my God, it's the end of life. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's a season of time, and I bless the Lord. And I receive my comfort not in money or security. Mm-hmm. And as God wraps these things up, as he starts showing his people, and I'm sure I'm not the only one he's talking to, but I want to just remind us, don't go running around like a chicken with your head cut off. Oh my God, end times. We do not know the length of this last period of time. All I heard was this is the last period. Because there's been eons, and you can go right back from Adam. You go to any study Bible, it breaks it up, you know, Adam to Moses to Jesus. I mean, they go through all of these time frames, and they're broken up into all different things. Different things happen. God used all the Old Testament, the things happening, as a shadow of what Jesus was going to do. I mean, how wonderful. And God's shown us the perspective of what's going on. We're limited by time because we're time-bound. But God is timeless. So there's always going to be that little misunderstanding, that tension, that what's going on? This is taking so long. But to God, it's not long. I mean, Jesus had 30 years, and we didn't hear anything about him in the scriptures, except he took a trip with his parents one time, and they found him in the temple. I mean, we don't know anything about him. And then 3 years... he was full-time in ministry, serving God, doing what God said, and died for us, gave up his life, became. He took the punishment for our crime on his shoulders, rose again and gave us the physical representative of what happens to us, both physically and spiritually. And for 2,000 years, it says he ever intercedes before God for us. So, you know, like 33 years of this, and 2,000 years of praying. So it's like, but to God, it's all just wrapped up. It's all good. It's all full. The past, the present, and the future are the same to God. So we're limited when we look at this, when we hear things like this. But don't be frightened. Some people are saying, oh my gosh, sell everything, go live in a cave. Don't do that. Now God tells you to do that, you do that. But there does, I'm going to share this with you. I have a sense to prepare. And in terms of having more control of my money rather than the bank. And you do what God shows you how to do on that. Things like water, clothing, food, some supplies and things like that, to have them at the ready. And I just didn't sense like some big conflagration. There could be. I mean, because you could stock your entire house with everything you need for 5 years and then have a fire in your house and it all burns down. The next day you're going, oh, okay, whatever. So I'm just saying, you have to live each day as it comes. But what I sense is that with these economic turmoil, with these things, with the possibility of intermittent ISIS attacks, even on our own soil, that we could be without electricity for 3, 4, 5 days at a time. Not just with a hurricane. Those of us in Florida, you know, kind of have some preparation with the foods and the waters and things like that. But if we start living a life like two-thirds of the world starts living, and we have interruptions of our power sources, we're going to have massive interruptions of our lives. So that's all I'm saying is that as this turmoil happens, I want to listen to God, and I'm going through some of the preparation stages for that. But I can't put my security in that, because I'm telling you, if I order all this stuff and I'm prepared, like God says, 3 or 4 days at a time, whatever's going on, and then there's a flood and washes away my home, there's a fire and burns everything up I just bought. Is my security in that? No. But is my wisdom going to be from God? Yes. And I can just encourage you. So don't base any decisions you might do on a dream that some pastor had. But I'm telling you, I was elated to hear this is the last season of time. 1 year, 1,000 years, I don't care. It makes no difference. This is the last one. Now, I also understood God is like really excited. You know, because he has a plan. He knows the time frames. But he is going to have his children home with him in that wonderful, glorious new heaven, new earth situation that he talked about from the beginning. Man interrupted it, but he didn't let it stay on man's shoulders. He came in the form of Jesus and gave us that wonderful salvation. But I want to have wisdom in between times. Now, with all of that in mind, I want to review Psalm 27. So those of you who have that, if not, you can see the screen up here. I have been reading this every day for the past month, and I have to sensing to read this every day, amongst all my other things that I read and study, whatever, but I purposely am reading this every single day. And what I want to do, just share with you, this is the foundational preparation for me for what lies ahead. And I hope after you read this that it will be yours. This is my foundation, not the food, not the water, not the electric, not the generators, not anything. Those things might be there, might exist, and there's wisdom to have them, but this is my foundational preparation. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Be gracious to me and answer me. When thou didst say, seek my face, my heart said to thee, thy face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide thy face from me. Do not turn thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Do not abandon me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my mother and my father have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. God bless you.